This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That would be Andy Baskin. I would be Jeff Phelps. And this would be Travis Sawchuk from The Score, who's joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Travis covers baseball. Travis covers it well. Travis is a smart guy. Travis wrote a story not too long ago that says, Travis, you ready here? 10 players and teams that had the worst offseason. And at number five, your Cleveland Guardians, folks. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Trav.
How are you guys?
Good,
we're,
are you?
We're okay.
Good.
We're okay. I must tell you, I couldn't agree with your assessment on this more. Because I'm still sitting here thinking, all right, you traded one of the best defenders in the game, and you traded a cleanup hitter, in theory, who hit 30 bombs and drove in 100 runs, and you hope to be better. All right, my fingers are crossed that you guys know what you're doing. Do they know what they're doing here? And if so, could you please tell us what it is?
Unfortunately, this is a sport, as we all know, that does not have a salary cap or floor for the fans of small and mid-market teams. So the Guardians are one of these clubs, like the Pittsburgh Pirates, like, not that the Mariners are a small market, but there are a number of frustrated fan bases out there looking at roster, looking clear voids and gaps that were not addressed. And it's not necessarily a Guardians front office issue. It's, you know, what are the ownership constraints? What is the budget? And the Guardians front office is a very smart group of people, and they've, of course, built a great pitching development system. I think the position player side coming up, some of those prospects are really exciting. But it does feel a bit like their hands are tied again, and the front office might also, you know, understanding that they seem to be, I don't want to say punting, but they have their eye on, I think, 2026 and beyond as much as they do this season. So it does feel like maybe a strategic half step back. But that's not exactly going to get fans fired up in the offseason. I did like bringing Bieber back. John Means, I think, is interesting down the road. But there are clear voids. They created some weaknesses with some of those moves you outlined. And I do think it's one of the more underwhelming offseasons amongst teams that have, you know, realistic playoff aspirations going into the season.
Yeah, it's funny, Travis, you talk about having a plan and wanting to stick to it, but someone forgot to tell the Guardians last year that plan wasn't supposed to go as fast as it did. And so how does that change going into this season, that the expectations you had for last year probably were, like, you know, blew it out of the water because you didn't expect that to happen, and now all of a sudden there are expectations on this team, and people want to see if they can, you know, repeat and duplicate what they did last year. Like you guys were just talking, I just don't know that they picked up the assets to do that. But I'll tell you what, I felt this way a year ago, and it's surprised the way they played.
Yeah, certainly. And the one thing this club does have going for it, as I alluded to earlier, is they're just a very good they have a great developmental system. So David Williams, for example, is disappointing last year. He's had some health issues. Fastball hasn't played well. But we're seeing early this spring that the fastball velo's up, and he's had some really nice early outings. What if he takes a leap? What if Tristan McKenzie gets back to, what if he's healthier and back to his form of a few years ago? So there's some reasons for optimism just from the value you can create an improvement from existing players, and they are one of the teams in baseball, like the Dodgers, like the Rays, that are very adept at doing that. So not a lot of external help is coming in, but there are some internal reasons for optimism and why they could exceed expectations as they did a year ago. They've been very good at building bullpens without putting a lot of financial resources into those arms. So that's not going to, I don't think player development sells tickets in the offseason, that sort of thing, but that is one reason to be optimistic that they can exceed forecasts and projections. And if you do look at the Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus forecast going into a season, the Guardians are one of the teams that historically has done better at beating those forecasts. And I do think it is coaching, it is development, it is those things that aren't captured as well by prognosticators, projection systems. So there is that hope element that is somewhat founded in reality.
Travis Sawchuk joining us. He's the senior baseball writer at The Score, and you can read all of his work at thescore.com. Can you make sense of what the move was at first base with Josh Naylor? Did they think he was going to break down? Did they think they didn't want to go into a contract year? Did they think this works? You don't want Mainzarda to get at-bats as many, maybe because he's not ready, and you bring in Santana? I'm still trying to exactly figure out why this move was made. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's hard to argue that trading one of your top power threats and cleanup hitter, middle of the order guy, is a step forward. I think
with
a
year under contract still.
That's right. I do think he wasn't a player that they wanted to commit to long term, and industry wide, teams are not investing a lot generally in first baseman power only players. It's just, we can argue whether that's correct or not, but teams are just not doing that. I think there probably were concerns about how Naylor would age. How would his body hold up? There's been some concern there. And this is a club, as we know, that does not like to let players with value just leave with no return other than, you know, potential draft pick compensation. So, you know, they generally, we've seen it with starting pitchers at the trade deadline, they're trying to maximize all the player asset value they have. So lastly, I think they're counting on probably more of a DH role, but they're counting on Mainzarda to take another leap forward. And I do think he showed real growth in the second half. And I do want, Carlos Santana is still a very good defender, and I wonder if trading the platinum glove of Mena at second base, they were trying to help the right side of the infield by just we're giving up some defense here, maybe we can bring some back at first base too, and a swap there. So I think all those things combined led to this. And you know, but as for 2025, it's a real, they probably got, just if you're looking at the net of this these trades, they're definitely worse on paper. That's how the infield. But again, I think they have their eye on 2026 and beyond as much as they do this year. I know that's not one of what folks want to hear, but that seems to be what the club is thinking.
Travis, I think kind of a cool story emerged yesterday, and I can't wait to see how it plays out for the Guardians when you take a guy like Tyler Naquin, who played in the outfield, takes a year off, and now he wants to pitch. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the story evolves and what happens next. What do you think of the story? I think it's fun when you can take a guy that was a position player, and now all of a sudden he's going to be a pitcher. And, you know, I don't know. I'm really rooting for him. I don't know your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, the arm is legit, as we all know from watching him in right field.
Mm-hmm.
And we see these stories occasionally of position players making that transition. Probably the most successful one is Kenley Jansen, who's likely to be a Hall of Fame closer. I'm not saying that's in store for Naquin, but the arm is legit, and with all the training tools available today, there's a better shot than ever to. He's not going to be a frontline starting pitcher or anything like that, but it's not unreasonable to think he could be a future. He could have a future as a relief pitcher. It's unlikely that he's, you know, an impact arm in the future, but you don't know. And it's more likely than ever that a guy with a live arm can make that transition. It's just the feedback loop, these pitching labs, you can add a breaking ball easier than ever just from understanding how a grip change affects spin, movement, all that. So it's definitely, it's possible. It's a great story. Everyone's going to be rooting for him, so it'll be something to keep an eye on this year, and it's got a shot. It's plausible. Might not be likely, but he's got a plausible chance to carve out a role down the road.
Travis Sawchuk joining us, and you can follow Travis on X, at Travis_Sawchuk, S-A-W-C-H-I-K. When you look at this team's outfield situation, I'm a little stunned that we're sitting here and it's looking real similar to what we had at the end of last year. Lane Thomas in center, fine. Stephen Kwan in left, fine. Question mark in right field. I'm not fine with that. I'm surprised that they haven't answered that question. Was the answer going to be Chase DeLauter before his injury, Travis, or what do you think?
Yeah, a really unfortunate injury because DeLauter had a... He still has a chance, but he had a real chance to, with a great spring, break camp, be another impact, potential bat in the lineup. So that's a blow for a team that hasn't had a 20 home run outfielder since 2014, I believe, which is pretty astounding. And I've been on your show before, I believe, just this weakness they've had. They've had like a historic power outage in outfield. Been successful despite it, but it's one of those areas where they could make real gains if they find, especially right field, it's been such a revolving door. And I'm curious to see, does Jonathan Rodriguez get a shot? I think he's really intriguing. Will Brennan, I still think there's a limitation there, and he's not an ideal profile fit there. Can DeLauter make some mid-season? Can he return mid-season? So it's such an obvious area for an upgrade, but it's going to have to come internally. And I think the good news is you do have, whether it's DeLauter with health, Rodriguez, who has real underlying power that they've been lacking, just like Big Christmas, another profile. But they do have some power profiles there, which could come through this year and which would be...
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A much needed improvement. It's not going to come externally, but I think the good news is they do have some options, whether breaking camp or midseason, that could finally raise the power floor on, especially right field, which has just been such a not ideal for a contender to put out some of the right fielders they've had in recent years there, for sure.
Hey, Travis, how do you see the AL Central playing out? I mean, no one expected the Guardians to do what they did last year. Is it the Twins? Who are we chasing, and what's the margin of error between these teams, with the exception of the White Sox?
Yeah, White Sox clearly still in a deep rebuild. But the rest of the division, you know, it's become more competitive. The Royals are more of a threat, and they've improved the top of their lineup with getting Jonathan India from the Reds. Their pitching was really healthy last year, so we'll have to see if they have the same good fortune in their starting rotation. You know, the Tigers are a real threat, as you know, we saw in the playoff series last year, and their Jackson Jobe is likely to be in the rotation. He's a top five overall prospect in baseball, so they're getting better. They added Gleyber Torres. They made some financial commitments that other teams in the division didn't this year, so they're going to be right there in the mix again. Twins, they're in this ownership sales limbo, which is, I think, kind of iced what they can do from a payroll perspective, but they've been competitive in recent years and will be again. So I do think it's the good news is for the Guardians is they're not in the AL East, but the AL Central is becoming more competitive. You're not going to be able to win this division with 84 games anymore, so, or anything like that. So it's going to require a better overall roster, better injury fortune, that sort of thing, because it is becoming a tougher neighborhood. And I think that's going to continue and for the foreseeable future. It's not AL flyover country. Is becoming a more competitive baseball landscape.
Travis, great to have you with us. Thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you all throughout the season. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, anytime, fellas.
Thanks, Travis.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.